turns back with me to the Song of Solomon. Chapter number 2. I know that, and it's been many years ago now, that it was either to you or the folks in Dayville that I dealt with the last sentence in verse number 3 of the Song chapter 2. I couldn't get back there if I had to. Don't remember anything that I said from the verse. So this is not a repeat, or it's not me going back and checking through all the notes and finding something that I've already done. I am as you, needing daily bread, daily food, and I need to bring you that which is fresh. And I will put the fresh bread down in the tabernacle or in the temple. And I hope the Lord will give you a morsel. I know that the hearing ear and that the seeing eye are from the Lord. Blessed are your eyes, Simon, and your ears. For you hear and you see. And even though that is true, God said, Psalm 78, incline thine ear. You turn it towards me. You get it in the position that you can hear. So which is it? Does God give, or are we responsible? Both. Better not misuse that which God gives. He'll take it from you. Well, would you join with me as we seek our dear Lord's face. Before thee and unto thee, gracious Lord, we bow. Realizing we can't do in hearing or in preaching that which is required of us. And yet we are responsible creatures before thee, unto thee. Though you created the ear, you gave the responsibility to us of taking heed how we hear. And responding to that we hear. Lord, I pray it was today. I pray that you might call each of us before thee. Give an account as the master called the servants. What do you do with this that I've given you? Have you made wise use? Have you put it to the exchangers? Or were you like a foolish servant that buried it in the earth? Or there's probably more of the latter being done than anything in our day. And so few are even brought to the realization of being in thy presence. And if we are not, we will leave unaffected. We will leave the same as when we entered, except we will have lost a part. And the degree to which our hearts might have bent and yielded. They will be hardened. Lord, it is a very serious thing for time so quickly fleeing. And all of us are days nearer thee than when we met last. Would you help us? And as is pleasing, as much as is needful, and that we can make wise use of, give us of thy Spirit. I pray you would open hearts to receive, trusting that in that request you will give, so that this will be there for them to receive. Help us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Bunyan often referred to the scriptures as that practic part. What's the practical here? How far beyond can we get other than the words, the historical writing, the physical condition? I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Now, if you won't mind, I wish you'd think a moment of the condition of Dee's heart traveling to the doctor, not knowing. The cancer may be back. What will be required of me? Will I have to go through all this again? You know it had its effect. And it had its effect for days and nights since the tests were done. And you know how the mind goes. And sometimes you can't keep it quiet or from not running out into the future. Now, they sit down in the office and she's told it's not spreading. Now compare the two. Days, nights, weeks, and even minutes waiting upon the news, and then the news, and the difference 1 minute before and a minute after. And folk, all of us are headed to an encounter, a standing before. I mean, we're going to face God. There's no ifs or ands about it. We're going to face God. But we're living in a generation that has absolutely no concern about that. We're living in a generation that has done something in regard to Christ, but they never were sick. Never. They never needed a physician. And there was not a bit of difference inwardly 5 seconds after supposedly they met Christ than 5 seconds before they met Him. One of the old men 2 generations ago said if he ever ran across an individual that all he wanted to talk about was the experience that he had had with the Lord, he said, I knew I was talking to a lost man. And Barnard, who knew him, he said, I don't believe that there's a soul alive that can tell when he was birthed into the kingdom, into the family of God. You might know when you've got peace. You might know when you found forgiveness. He also said, if we could come within 100 miles of the time that we got lost, we might be doing okay. Well, I want you to think about this. Not somebody sitting down under a shade tree, and that shade tree being a fruit tree, and that fruit tree having fruit, and her reaching up and taking of the fruit. That's what got us in the mess we're in. That's why we need Christ. Because somebody won't see how fruit tasted on a fruit tree that she wasn't supposed to eat thereof. Now all of us have got to get to Christ, the tree of life. I sat down. That means she was in an upright position, condition. That means that she was walking or had paused in her journey. And she sits down. I want you to consider it by way of experience in your soul. Not a physical act of sitting down. If that's all you ever do, go to church. Or pray, and all it is a physical act, then you don't go and you don't pray. You gotta get here, but there's gotta something take place in your soul between you and the head of the church, or you don't benefit. And there's got to be an exchange between Almighty God and a poor sinner when you kneel or you don't pray. And that on that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, that is, with a loud voice, saying unto all that had gathered for that religious ceremony, if there's anybody here thirsty, we go out giving the gospel to any and everybody. If there's anybody here that is thirsty, let him come unto me. You might think they had the advantage on us, that they could have got up, they could have walked to where he was, and they would have been saved. It never has been about a physical act. That's why I do not invite you down to some supposedly altar in the front of the church. Jesus Christ's invitation is only to some soul that's thirsty. He never has offered himself to anybody that wasn't hungry, that wasn't sick, that didn't need a Savior. And we came up, man came up with this invitation system of getting men to perform some physical act, and then we pronounce them as Christians. Gotta be a condition in your soul before Christ will ever be offered to you by the Spirit of God. You gotta get lost before he'll ever save you. lost. Hell, deserving sinner. Without hope, with the possibility of God not receiving you. If He does, it is only in mercy. You gotta get lost. Before you'll ever get saved, before the gospel will ever be offered to you by the Spirit of God. We men make a million mistakes in offering it to folks. Not the Spirit of God. And see, He's not working. I said that. I sat down under His shadow. That shadow had a great effect. Something that I knew. Something that I felt. Salvation, though you might get tired of it, but salvation is a vital union between a creature of earth and the God of heaven. Vital union. Salvation is a wild branch being grafted into a true vine, and from that vine flows everything needful and essential for life. Salvation is communion. Salvation is a marriage. Yeah, you say, I do, but you go home with your husband. He's over you. He's responsible for your well-being. You're responsible to honor, submit. You went home with Him. You took His name. You bear His name. And this is eternal life. That you may know. That you may know. Where'd you learn your husband? Well, I learned him by meeting him and by us going out. No. You knew a little about him, but you learned him when you went home with him. This is eternal life. Not that you was introduced to some man, not that you said I do to some man, but that you know Him, the true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. I know in whom I have believed. I jokingly, and this was many years ago, after a ceremony and at the reception, I jokingly asked a young man how it felt to be married. He took it rather seriously and said, I don't feel any different now than I did when I said I do. And he's telling the truth. If I could ask him 10 years later, he said, yeah, this is how it is. I know her likes and her dislikes. I know what'll make her smile. I know what'll make her cry. I know what'll bring joy. I know what'll bring sadness. I know her. This is what it means to be married. Dear soul, until we
get into the house with Jesus Christ and begin to learn Him, we've got no right to claim that we are a bride of His. We're not serving an idol. We're not serving a dead God. We're dealing with a living Christ. And knowledge of Him has a transforming power in us. We see through a glass the glory of God in the face of Jesus and are changed. You're not who you were last week this time. You're not even who you were from Wednesday night. We are changed from image to image. I had the image of the woman that reached up and took the fruit from the tree. But now I'm having transformation from sitting under His tree eating that fruit digested. Body breaking it down. Color to the face. Helping the body in health changed from image to image. Do you know anything about communion? I'm not asking you if you're a Christian. I'm not asking if you remember the time you got saved. I don't care too much about that. I'm asking you, do you know anything about communion? Now listen to this. Not we. There comes a time when it's just a child with his father. It's just a wife with her husband. It's just a friend with a friend. 7 times in that book she mentions the daughters of Jerusalem as if she's the only one. And she is. Are you saying there were no other Christians? No. Are you saying that the daughters of Jerusalem were not Christians? I don't know. They could have been. And we come to Kerith, and we sit down, few in number. But it's not a we, it's not an us. It's an I, it's an individual. I sat down. Say, well, if she thought she was the only individual, she is filled with pride. That's the farthest thing from her mind and the farthest thing from her heart, for nobody ever gets that close to the Lord Jesus that has pride developing. I walk with Him. I sit down under His shadow. I talk with Him. He talked with me in the preaching. He spoke to me in reading the Scriptures. That's somewhat amazing to me. Just sitting down, opening a book that God said. I sure hope to me. A
Christian knows that there will be an innumerable company in glory. But in that multitude, she's the only one speaking to him. 3,000 souls were saved under one message, but God didn't deal with 3,000 souls as a group. He dealt with an individual. 3,000 eyes. 3,000 knees got saved. Not a crowd. An individual. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would, look with me. Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. This has nothing to do with an individual sitting down under a fruit tree, under his shade. It has to do with a group of people in Corinth that said they were Christians. Paul said, I want you to all, as one, speak the same thing, and there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And in this house, you've got some folks saying, I'm here because of Paul. And some are saying, no, I'm here because of Apollos, and some of Cephas. And then there's a few eyes that says, I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Did Paul save any of you? Did the preacher Cephas or Apollos save any of you? When you went down to the watery grave of baptism, were any of you baptized in the name of the preacher that saved you? I want you to realize, I want you to say, I am of Christ. Paul was but an instrument or Apollos to bring me to Christ. Now this is in the physical. And this is in the physical. When you folks at Corinth come together, some of you are coming to the Lord's stable because you're hungry physically. Don't you have a house where you can eat and drink and get your physical appetite satisfied? Don't you know that this is spiritual? Won't you all, when you take that bread
Or when you take that wine, I want you to know it's not to fill the craving of a physical appetite. It's the broken body of Christ. Speak the same thing. That's in the physical. Or speaking the same thing in one aspect won't ever be in the spiritual. For there are no children at the same place in their walk with the Lord. You are not where anybody else is. That's why it is so imperative for communion with Christ as an individual, because you can't be there alone. You got to go back to husband, you got to go back to wife, you got to go back to parenting, you got to go back to work. And you become just a member of society or a member of the family. So for you to maintain a right fellowship and true identity before God, there's got to be these times when it's just you and the Lord. Or you're just religious. And the husband and the wife and society and the children are going to have a greater effect upon you than they should, because you are not in communion with the Lord as just one in a closet with a door shut. Everybody here is at a different place as far as the work of grace within. Some young men, maybe some babes, and I hope some developing fathers. Many of you walk in spiritually in heart as anybody else. Some of you may have come in discouraged. Some of you in doubt. Some of you weighted down with various things. But the Lord deals with you as an individual, and somehow, and some way, God has the power to take a piece of bread and bless it to the particular individual, not the church at large. And God deals not with us as a group, all at the same place, all with the same degree of the work of grace within, all at the same place, spiritually speaking. God deals with you as an individual based upon the need of your soul. If you came in without hunger, you'll go away without a crumb. But the one thing, if you are a child, that all of us came in unified on was, I, as an individual, need to get to the fount, to the fruit tree, to that tree whose leaves are for the healing. Whatsoever you do, Colossians, do heartily out of or from the heart as unto the Lord. Ephesians 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but doing the will of God from the heart as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. I sat down, for you are in a journey from heaven, from earth to heaven or to glory, from sinfulness to saints,
And we do not confer sainthood on any living creature. But all of you are headed from sinfulness to that of being a saint in glory. From sorrow to joy. From defeat to victory. From at times being overcome, almost overcome, seemingly overcome, down and out, distressed, to overcoming, to moving from where you are spiritually now to a different place where you'll be next Lord's Day. You better be. Is it not amazing that we get children to the doctor who lose their appetites and who are not growing or developing, and yet we can go week after week without any evidence of that within our soul? You better be on a journey away from this earth to that in glory. But I tell you this about your journey. You're following a gentle shepherd. You're following one that picks up the lambs that are unable to walk and carries them, or gently leads those heavy with young. And this shepherd, he provides rest for you. Sufficient rest at the various stopping places in your journey, lest you be overcome with fatigue. Do you know fatigue of soul? Too tired? Life within not flowing out. You're just tired. A gentle shepherd. In the wilderness, you'll need a place from beneath the scorching sun from time to time. And the shepherd who says, follow me, provides those. And there be those shade trees. Would to God that this would become more effective as a shade tree for your souls. But I'm helpless in that. To provide it for you. I will go in the strength of the Lord. Of the Lord. The omnipotent, sovereign, ruler, God. Loving husband. Father, friend. I don't know if you know anything about a shade tree in your journey. I don't know if you know anything about needing that. I don't know if you know anything about having to go in the strength of the Lord your God. They go from strength to strength, marginal from company to company, both are correct. Because when the body becomes healthy, every joint supply what the other body members need. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeared. That's the end of your journey. Someday, you're going to walk into an office. God will be on the throne. That's the end of your journey. You got time. You've got opportunity if the Spirit of God deals with you to make certain that when you stand before Him, He will say to you, "Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Or, and I cannot imagine this, the worst news that anyone could ever say. And you have a lot of bad news in this life. But for Him to say, "Depart." Jesus Christ said to the disciples, not to the crowd, "Fear Him that hath both power to cast body and soul into hell." He didn't say that to the crowd. "Don't you fear men," He said, "that can harm the body, and that's the extent. They can kill the body, but that's all they can do. But I tell you, the one you ought to fear, the one that you're going to step into His presence to hear Him say, 'Enter or depart.'" Now, folks, that's a fearful thing. I cannot imagine someone being told that and yet hell has enlarged itself to accommodate those that do not make use of the tree of life and His shade and walking with Him. And those that God says, "Enter thou," in unison, they will say to the one sitting on the throne, "Worthy art thou to receive power and honor and riches and wisdom and strength and glory." Now, wait a minute, folks. He already has all that. Honor, as angels that cover their face in His presence. Glory, all the redeemed. He is receiving glory from them. Power. Oh, He's got all power. Then what is it that I am, if grace has provided a righteous covering in Him, what is it that I am doing
as one in that vast multitude saying, "Worthy is the Lamb, because He from me will be receiving, acknowledging from my heart, I'm here by Thy power. I'm here because of Thy strength. In my journey, fatigue set in. But You provided rest. Hunger set in, but You provided necessary food. Worthy to receive wisdom. I know Thee based upon Thy wisdom. Not that I obtained as a member of Adam's race. Glory. My being here is to Thy glory. And there will not be a conductor that says, okay, raises his hand and says, let's start. And there won't be thousands and thousands of souls. It'll be one individual. And you'll be saved. Not the crowd saying, you. Are worthy, Lord Jesus. Now Jesus was weary with His journey because He took a body of flesh. And so He knows when she needs rest and when she needs fruit. You can't appreciate the shade without the sun. You can't appreciate rest without exhaustion. You can't appreciate fruit without a hunger. Folk, how is it? Just you honest before God, and we can go without food. And you can't find. You go talk to your friends, closest friends, about hunger and thirst and weariness. You don't have anybody out there that can relate to you. They're all going to relate in the physical. Oh yeah, I know what that is. Now close with this in a little while. I sat down. Anything coerced, anything, is not genuine. If somebody had to talk you into doing something, it's not real. Obedience to Christ is never forced. I find His commandments are not grievous. For we delight in the inward man to do the will of God, even if the old man opposes it. Listen, folk, anything that somebody talks you into, I mean, some of you got to be here today because others would think badly about you. Some of you got to be here because Mom and Dad made you.
And anything forced upon you is not received of the Lord. D-E-M-O-N-S, do the will of God. Are better servants to God than any of us. One last, Isaiah 10. The will of God's going to be done. But it's going to be done from the heart. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but it's going to be done from the heart in the children. Isaiah 10:6. I will send him, that is the Assyrians, in verse number 5. That's God's rod. A fierce, wicked nation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge. Now you might think that this wicked nation is going against another wicked nation, and that the people of God's wrath are those who have cursed and sworn. No. The people of God's wrath is His nation. Against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil, to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. I don't know that we need the Islamic State infiltrating America to destroy her. I think we've destroyed ourselves. But whether they come, and surely they are some already here, or whether it be another nation, they will come to destroy. They're as much doing the will of God as the angels that did not fall, ministering spirits sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. Verse 7, howbeit he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. Now listen to verse number 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion, my soul, that's where the people went to worship. And on Jerusalem, oh, that chosen city and nation. But when the Assyrians do this, then I'm going to punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. For he saith, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent. And I have removed the bounds of the people, have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. God said, when he gets through doing what I want him to do, I'm going to destroy him. where you are headed as a church, or I do not know. Underground, behind closed doors, I do not know. Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world, claiming its tens of millions. And do you know what an infidel is, the ones they set out to destroy? Anybody that believes Jesus is the Christ. That includes you. I don't know what I'd do if somebody said your head goes or you deny the Lord. I'm not bold enough to tell you, oh, I'd not deny him. I don't know. I would only not deny him by grace and strength given. I don't know where you are in your journey. I hope you're on a journey. And if you are, there will be that just Christ and me. Just His shade and just His fruit.